Orders over $49.99. Place by 5 p.m. Excludes weekends and holidays. Eligible items only.
Iowa and Nebraska football on Black Friday appears to be dead. How do you feel? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
So Nebraska and Iowa both will look ahead to bowl games as part of the most wonderful time of the year. But for Kirk Ferentz and his 14 seniors on this Hawkeye team, it will be the happiest of senior days. A win at home over their adjacent rivals, Nebraska.
This is not a divorce, according to UI Athletic Director Gary Barta. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with a great lineup for you on a Tuesday. We'll talk a little Colonels baseball with Tommy Watkins coming up at the bottom of the hour. Colonels saw their season come to an end last night at the hand of the Quad Cities River Bandits. Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette with us to talk all things Hawkeyes in the third and final hour of the show tonight. We got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill that we're going to hook somebody up with as well. Adrian Peterson makes his debut in a Saints uniform against his old team last night on Monday Night Football. We'll touch on that and more. But first, your phone calls and texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. That number again, 319-366-1600. The Big Ten announcing the 2020 and 2021 football schedules, and a couple bombshells in there, including a big one on the tail end. Who does Iowa play to close out the 2020 and 2021 seasons? It's no longer going to be Nebraska. How do you feel about the end of the Black Friday rivalry between the Hawkeyes and the Huskers? 366-1600. The other bombshell, Big Ten football in early September. In 2020, that means the Hawkeyes open Big Ten play in what appears to be week three of the season, September 19th, at Minnesota. Floyd of Rosedale on the line right out of the gate in 2020. And in 2021, how about this? September 4th, Indiana. At Kinnick Stadium, Big Ten football right out of the gate. Now, I asked Kirk Ferentz about this today in Iowa City, and he gave a non-answer answer. He answered the question, but he didn't really say how he felt. And by not saying how he felt, you kind of know how he feels about it. What's up, Alex?
Not a whole lot, Todd. And this is just me. I have grown up with Friday, Black Friday football, so it's a little bit sad to see it go. But at the same time, I think it lost a lot of its luster. And for Nebraska fans, Nebraska has played on Black Friday the last 20 years. For Iowa fans, I don't think that they really ever grasped the concept of it. So we'll see. 319-366-1600 what Iowa fans' thoughts are on losing Black Friday. But I see a lot of banter between Nebraska fans and Iowa fans on the social networking sites after this announcement was made, and like you said, Todd, a bombshell was released, and I knew it was coming because I saw Scott Docterman of the Land of Ten and our guest at 6:35, Mark Morehouse, saying the Big Ten schedule for 2020 and 2021 are going to be released, and you're not going to want to miss the unveiling of the schedules. And sure enough, this is what we got.
Nebraska fans are not taking this very well. I don't think Iowa fans really care one way or the other, but it's the poll question today at KGYMradio.com. How do you feel about the end of the Iowa-Nebraska Black Friday game? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question at KGYMradio.com. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Now, as I understand it, we could be looking at a situation where the end of the season games rotate, because there was some discussion that the 2022 and 2023 schedules could have Nebraska playing Wisconsin in the final week of Big Ten play. So this is not locking Iowa into playing for the Heartland Trophy against Wisconsin the final week of the season, but It is a departure from the norm. We'll hear from UI Athletic Director Gary Barta. He had an impromptu gathering with a couple members of the media, myself included. That's the reason why I got a parking ticket today at the University of Iowa. I know they've got the app that you can pay from your phone, but I had enough money in the meter that if it would have just been Kirk Ferentz today, I would have been good. Barta, I stuck around. Barta was 8 minutes, and by the time I got down to the meter, I had a ticket. I know Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette had one, too. He was over by 4 minutes. They were watching that parking lot like a hawk today. We want to hear from you. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts on the changes to Black Friday. This, of course, if you've been a longtime listener to the afternoon program, you will know that this means the death of a Thanksgiving tradition for yours truly. I will no longer be stopping at the Hy-Vee in Council Bluffs and picking up a six-pack of Schlitz Tall Boys. I'm no longer going to be stopping at the same courtyard just on the other side of Omaha. No more Marriott points for me. No more ice bath in the sink with the Tall Boys. And no more Thanksgiving dinner at the Marriott. Kind of disappointed about this, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. And I think this is a nod to Iowa and Wisconsin and what that game could mean in the last week of the Big Ten season, because when we've seen Iowa and Nebraska play, one team has been good, one team has had a shot at Indianapolis. We really haven't seen the title come down to that final game, and I don't know whether this is the Big Ten, just the luck of the draw, again with the experimenting. Again, it sounds like Nebraska and Wisconsin could be that final game moving forward, and then maybe Iowa and Minnesota wind up being the final game of the regular season as it was for many years. Gary Barta, and again, you'll hear from him coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got about 6 or 7, maybe 8 minutes once it's all edited with Gary after Kirk Ferentz spoke today, and we've got other Hawkeye football news to get to as well. Gary Barta was asked whether or not the TV networks could step in and perhaps request that final game get moved to Friday. So I don't want to sit here and say Black Friday is necessarily dead, because Iowa and Wisconsin, that could get moved, but the idea of it appears to at least be on life support.
A couple of things that I've seen people kind of coming to a conclusion with this afternoon, and I wanted to run these by you, Todd. Is this at all a sign that this Nebraska-Iowa rivalry hasn't gained the steam that a lot of people thought it would naturally gain once Nebraska came to the Big Ten?
I asked Gary Barta about that. I said, does this in any way, shape, or form kind of dampen the fact that this was supposed to be a rivalry, that there were a lot of people on both sides in the marketing departments, and you got a corporate sponsor involved, that were trying to build this up into a rivalry, and you had this cockamamie trophy that they came up with and the heroes game idea. Does this affect the rivalry between these two teams, the manufactured rivalry? Didn't necessarily word it that way, but Gary Barta stayed on point. He's on message today. No, this doesn't mean anything to that. It's still a rivalry. Iowa and Nebraska still share a border. This is just another opportunity, blah, 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 blah. You'll hear Gary coming up at the bottom of the hour. I think that this is great. I want to hear what people think about this, because you hear my opinions every day. I want to hear yours. 319-366-1600. I think Iowa and Wisconsin in the final week of the season, mid to late November, that as much as it possibly can, gets my blood pumping here on September 12th, 2017. Now, this is 3 years down the road. It's a long way off. And Kirk Ferentz was asked about schedules today, and one question from Scott Docterman and one question from me, and he sort of brushed both of them off. But you'll hear Kirk say, it's above, those decisions are made above me. They don't really ask my input, which I joked around with him. But you're the dean of Big Ten coaches. They don't come to the dean of Big Ten coaches. And Ferentz said no, which is basically code for, look, this is all TV. This is what TV wants, TV gets. And we sort of know that because they give us a check for $45, $50 million every year. You tell Iowa to get that $50 million check that they would play Indiana or Illinois in the last week of the season, they'd do it. They'd play that game on a Thursday night. They'd play it Thanksgiving Thursday afternoon and make you miss that meal if it meant $45 to $50 million on the line, which is what the new TV contracts are paying the Big Ten. Here's the deal. We got a lot of texts to get to on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. I want to hear from Nebraska fans because this is a kind of a big deal to Iowa fans. But this, to me, is a huge deal to Husker fans. And I know you're out there because we hear from you all the time, especially when I say something with regard to Nebraska that you don't like. We do hear from you. As Alex said, this has been tradition going back to the Big 8, Big 12 days for Nebraska, playing on Friday, Oklahoma, Colorado. It was a nod to the Huskers when they joined the Big 10 as sort of an olive branch to the fans who were not happy about that move, although I think many of them were. They just wanted to get out of the Big 12. They knew that it was not a good relationship. They wanted to get out of the Big 12. They got into the Big 10, and that olive branch, that nod to history, was, we'll let you guys continue to play on Black Friday. We'll set up this series with Iowa. We'll give it the same treatment that you got Oklahoma, Colorado. And I want to know how Nebraska fans are taking that today. Do you feel betrayed by Jim Delaney and the Big Ten? 319-366-1600.
Todd, you knew this, but I grew up a Colorado fan. Big-time Colorado Buffalo fan. It was a tradition for me as long as I could remember waking up on Black Friday and not going shopping and not doing what normal people do on Black Friday, but getting up and getting ready for a rivalry.
Sleep off their hangovers? Yeah,
that too.
Okay.
Because I was a little bit too young for that. But getting up and watching Colorado against Nebraska. And as much as Nebraska fans didn't want to admit it, it was a pretty, pretty decent rivalry in the Big 12 and in the Big 8. But when Nebraska moved to the Big 10, it was the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry game. So it just kind of stayed a part of what I expected, a football game, a meaningful football game on Friday. And now to see that Nebraska will not be playing at all, I'm not going to say that I'm at all affected, but it's going to be weird not seeing them playing on Black Friday because it's been as long as I can remember. They have. So that'll be an adjustment for me, but I have to imagine, and I've seen some Nebraska fans already today not taking this news well because that's all they know is playing on Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Nebraska is going to wind up playing Minnesota, and I think, look, if you stand back and look at this, the four teams most likely to be dictating the outcome of a trip to Indianapolis are in no particular order, at least for the next several years, 2020 and 2021 included, Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Minnesota. And so you have those four teams. They are playing one another. It's just not the order that we've become accustomed to.
And it'll be on Saturday, correct?
For right now, yes.
For right
that's
now.
What was announced. Now, like Gary Barta said, TV could change its mind. They could step in. They could decide to move things around. TV says jump. The schools are going to say how high, but they did announce the tentative dates for those games. Let's head to the phone lines. Jeff is going to bat lead off for us tonight. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just want to comment as an Iowa fan that I think that Iowa playing Wisconsin makes more sense sort of from a competitive stance than playing Nebraska. I know that I define whether Iowa's had a successful season or not by whether they beat Wisconsin, whether or not either of them are in, you know, the competition for Indianapolis. And just in the past few years, how many times we get down to the last 2 weeks of the season, and it always comes down to, the math always comes down to, well, if Wisconsin wins and if Iowa loses. And now that they're actually playing each other, I think it just makes it more fun. And Nebraska is a great game, but Wisconsin just means more to me as an Iowa fan.
Appreciate the phone call, Jeff. Thanks for listening. 366-1600 if you want to follow him. Ryan from Walford on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. It makes sense to me. Iowa versus Wisconsin has decided the Big Ten West the last few years, and the best part is it kind of shoves it in the Huskers fans' face, which all Iowa fans will love. I like the move, but I do enjoy the Black Friday game, basically because I have 2 days to recover from the festivities, and it also gives Nebraska fans another excuse to bring up the 90s. 7191 on the text line, not using this as an missing this as an opportunity to take a jab at Nebraska fans either. This is the Big Ten pretty much telling Nebraska they aren't good enough to be Iowa's rival.
That was the other question I was going to ask you. I don't necessarily buy that. I know Nebraska isn't what they used to be, but they are still an 8-9 win team. So I don't think it's that at work here, but Wisconsin is a more intriguing matchup for the last week of the season. And if we're talking about the more intriguing matchups and rivalry games, then is Minnesota not a bigger rival to Iowa than Nebraska is at this point? So I think a lot of Iowa fans were okay seeing Minnesota as the last game on the schedule and now are excited to see Wisconsin as a last game on the schedule, and more so than they were excited to see Nebraska in the last week of the season.
0182 on the text line. I am upset as a Hawk fan, but I really feel bad for Husker fans. They should still be playing that day, even if it is not Iowa that they play. Why, as a Hawkeye fan, are you upset about Black Friday going away? 319-366-1600. Because I don't think, at least the feeling that I got from talking to a number of fans and experiencing this myself as somebody who covers the team, I don't feel like there was ever that buy-in from Iowa fans on this, because here's where I approach college football. I love the atmosphere. I like going in on a Friday night and you go downtown or you head out to wherever the action is and the fans congregate. And then Saturday you wake up and you tailgate and you go to the game. A lot of people would travel on Thanksgiving night, Thursday night, over to Nebraska. Everything in Iowa City, everything in Lincoln is closed on Thursday night because it's Thanksgiving. A couple bars are open, but most bars and restaurants were not. So Thursday night, you got nothing. Friday, you play the game, and then win or lose, it's a short drive home, you're out of town. It lacked the feel of everything that makes Big Ten football and college football fun. You go in, Thanksgiving night, and it doesn't matter whether it's Iowa City or whether it was Lincoln and Omaha. I've stayed outside Omaha traditionally, but it was like the carpet was rolled up at 5 o'clock. There was nothing open, and that just... it didn't feel like big-time college football the way that traditionally it feels when you play somebody on a Saturday. That's where I was coming from it, and I think a lot of the fans were coming from it also. Look, I understand football is king with a lot of people, and a lot of people will blow off their own family and weddings and funerals, and I've never supported that type of behavior, because for me, I think family should be come before anything else. That's just how I approach things. But it was a tough sell to have to explain. And my family gets it. I've been doing this a long time. They know what goes in to doing this job. They got it when I'd have to cut Thanksgiving short and leave at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, especially if the weather was bad and you don't get to have Thanksgiving dinner with one side of the family, whether it's your wife's side or whether it's your mom or dad's side of the family, depending on what your setup is, it cut into family time. And for some people, that was also an issue with this. So Nebraska, Iowa, Black Friday, by the wayside. They'll still play for that Heroes Game trophy, though. Don't worry about that. 319-366-1690. Let's squeeze in a couple phone calls here. Who's been hanging on longest? John and Tiffin. Good to hear from you again, John. What's up?
Hey, I have a couple of takes on it. For starters, I kind of like the Friday after Thanksgiving game. For starters, I don't do any shopping anyway on Friday, so it was fun to get away. Hopefully they bring that back with Wisconsin. That'd be kind of interesting. Second, I want to hop on what oh, Lord, what was said earlier, Alex said, about it's kind of a slam against Minnesota because they're supposedly up and coming with Row the Boat, but I'm guessing by the time they have a couple of good winning seasons in a row, Flick will jump on to bigger and better things. And third, what a slap in the face that the Big Ten has to think about when you first look at the legends and leaders. They didn't even have Iowa and Wisconsin in the same division. Now all of a sudden they threw them in the West and they have a rivalry game. Kind of interesting. I'll sit back and listen to you guys. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call, John. Scott Dochterman actually brought up with Gary Barta today, and you'll hear it in a few minutes. This survived, this rivalry survived the legends and leaders debacle and not playing. And it does add another layer to what is one of the most even football rivalries in the Big Ten, Iowa and Wisconsin. Historically, if you look at the win-loss record, I think as much as it takes away from Iowa and Nebraska, and you'd be hard-pressed to get fans from both of those fan bases to recognize the other as a true rival. Just because Nebraska is still relatively the new kid on the block, although just like the new kid in school was always happy the next year or 2 years down the road to see other new kids. Hey, Maryland. Hey, Rutgers. I don't feel so out of place anymore. Nebraska still, to me, feels out of place in the Big Ten. This is doing that budding rivalry no favors. But I think Iowa fans overwhelmingly are going to be on board with ending the season against Wisconsin. Let's squeeze in Mark, and then we'll step aside and take a quick break. We've got a big board update coming on the way from Kyle, Midwest One. Lots of other news to get to today. Mark, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I was at the game last year in Kinnick, and I felt like we took it to Nebraska kind of on their turf, even though it was in Kinnick. It was their tradition. It was their day, and we still took it to them. I'm going to miss that when we continue to bludgeon Nebraska every year, but we will have to do it on Saturday instead.
Iowa will have to do it on Saturday, and they'll have to do it not at the last game of the schedule. Now, Nebraska in 2020 is at Kinnick Stadium on November 14th. That's Week 10. And in 2021, it's also a Week 10 game. Iowa will make the trip to Lincoln and Memorial Stadium. Closing out 2021, Iowa will play Wisconsin at Camp Randall Stadium. The 2020 game against Wisconsin is set to be at Kinnick Stadium. 4:27, we're not done with this today, believe me. We'll still take your calls and texts, 319-366-1600. We'll step aside for a quick break. 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show on KGYM. Back with more after this. It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. The Cubs had Monday night off before beginning a series with the Mets, but they still managed to get a little help in their pursuit of the NL Central pennant. Pittsburgh took the first game of its series against Milwaukee at Miller Park 7-0 to drop the Brewers 2.5 games behind the Cubs in the division standings. After being swept by the Crew in a weekend series at Wrigley Field, every bit of assistance helps. The Cubs will hope to get some from last place Cincinnati as well this week as the Reds begin a series against the Cardinals in St. Louis. The Redbirds are 2 games back in the standings. Ultimately, though, the Cubs can help their own cause by beating the Mets, a team that's now a far cry from the one that bounced them from the 2015 postseason. The crucial series begins at Wrigley Field tonight at 7:05 with left-hander Jose Quintana scheduled to face Mets right-hander Robert Gsellman.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hass. Are you wasting time worrying about timekeeping and scheduling instead of calling the plays for your business? The pros at Future Systems can handle all of your scheduling and timekeeping needs. With web-based timekeeping, your team can clock in whether they're at home or away. And when you add integrated scheduling, you can avoid a penalty flag for having too many players on the field. Call the All-Americans at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
Welcome back in. 429-4768 on the text line. Iowa fan could not care less about losing the Black Friday game. A couple other texts to get to. 6691. I go Black Friday shopping every time, watching the Hawkeyes. Every few stores made it more bearable. Sounds like someone who may be going shopping, but not necessarily of their own accord. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with members of the media this afternoon in Iowa City, and he confirmed fears that senior offensive lineman Ike Butker suffered an Achilles injury and will be out for 4 to 6 months. Ferentz says that the letter of the law doesn't make Butker a likely candidate for a medical redshirt, but the staff will still make an effort, and this likely means true freshman Tristan Wirfs will see the field sooner rather than later. Iowa also had its Big Ten schedules released for the 2020 and 2021 seasons, which held within them a couple of bombshells. First, Iowa will be playing Big Ten games in September, including a September 4th matchup with Indiana in 2021, and will not be playing a yearly Black Friday game with Nebraska. The Hawkeyes had a handful of players selected to Pro Football Focus's Week 2 All-Big Ten teams. On offense, they recognized Akram Wadley and freshman Amir Smith-Marset, and on the defensive side of the ball, they honored Anthony Nelson as well as Josh Jackson. Iowa State running back David Montgomery also had a strong performance in Ames over the weekend, and he too was recognized, making the All-Big 12 offense. The season came to a close last night for the Cedar Rapids Colonels as they fell 6-1 to the Quad Cities River Bandits in a deciding Game 3 of the Western Division Finals. A bases-clearing double in the first turned out to be all Quad Cities would need, and the River Bandits will now move on to face the Fort Wayne Tin Caps in the finals. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Padres. That'll be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Great atmosphere last night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Unfortunately, sad to see the season end. It was actually over before we even got out of the building last night because of that Josh Rojas double, which actually sounds like it was almost a grand slam. They were lucky to keep that ball inside the park. They could not touch Kit Sheets, the Quad City starter last night, not if they had one of PJ Fleck's boat oars. That guy was throwing 88 miles an hour, but he was throwing from left hand and sidearm, and I could not on his worst day and my best day could I have touched him. Now, I know that's not saying much, but the Colonels were struggling until the seventh inning last night, started making some loud contact, and then they got into the Quad Cities bullpen. Bandits able to hang on. So that's it for 2017. We'll talk 2018 and more. Tommy Watkins, the manager of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. We'll find out what Tommy thinks about his future. There's still questions. It's up in the air because of the staff changeover in the front office that happened before the start of the season. We'll find out whether or not he thinks he's on solid footing with the Twins. So he's going to be joining us next, coming up at the bottom of the hour. You will also hear from Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta today as well. Gary talking a little bit about the decision made by the Big Ten to scrap Iowa and Nebraska on Black Friday. It will now be Wisconsin, at least for a two-year window beginning in 2020. 4:32, we'll step aside. We'll get Tommy lined up, ready to go talking Colonels baseball when we return after this.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-638-0722. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-638-0727 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-638-0727 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-638-0727.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Had a couple of football games last night. Week one now officially in the books in the NFL. And if you didn't see last night, here's a little bow on it. Trevor Siemian isn't John Elway, but he showed flashes. Pretty good passer, very smart playmaker. And yes, the move on Joey Bosa of the Chargers was strong. He should only get better, which means more pine time for Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler. Tell me again why they wanted Brock back. I still stick to my claim that the Chargers will be a very good football team as the season rolls along, and I'll stick to my pick that San Diego will make the playoffs. Wait, it's Los Angeles. Wait, sorry, Los Angeles will make the playoffs. I'm no better than last night's official that called him San Diego, am I? Los Angeles, Los Angeles, got it. How about Minnesota? Sam Bradford went back to his 2008 Heisman form last night, dropping perfectly placed dimes into the hands of everybody he threw to. Nice when the Vikings line can protect. Think if they'd had an offensive line last season, they'd have been a Super Bowl threat. Now they do. Defensively, they shut down an always explosive offense for the most part. No reason not to like many. Am I overreacting to week one? Yeah, probably. In 60 seconds, you might not like it, but you better get used to it.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, can I still take advantage of today's low rates? Is it still a good time to refinance? The answer is yes. Now's a great time to call Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
The Golden State Warriors are making $20 million a year to wear a patch on their uniforms. They call it a badge. It's a patch, and it's $20 million a year. Rakuten is the company. Apparently, they're a big deal somewhere. In fact, I think we all use their products. That's what I've heard. 14 NBA teams are now wearing patches and getting big bucks for it, but none as big as the bucks the Dubs are getting. But there are some holdouts, including the Los Angeles Lakers and Clippers, Chicago Bulls, and New York Knicks. Yep. The three biggest markets on the continent are holding out. But I'd bet all the money Rakuten has that all four franchises will be wearing patches by the start of the 2018 season, with NFL teams probably not far behind. Because since when are professional sports not about the bottom line? With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-638-0722. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-638-0727 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-638-0727 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-638-0727.
106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa, KGYM Radio, and the Todd Brommelkamp Show taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Mark Morehouse with us at 6.35 tonight. We'll talk Hawkeyes with Mark. I created the hashtag House on the Hawks earlier today. If it's never been used before, I'm going to have to trademark it, and he's going to owe me a nickel every time he decides to use it moving forward. We got coaches' cuts on the way in the 5 o'clock hour as well. We'll get back to the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Tons of reaction to the Iowa-Nebraska news today, the Big Ten announcing the 2020 and 2021 schedules, and it ain't Nebraska. Iowa's going to be playing in Week 12. It's Wisconsin. The other hidden Easter egg in there, Big Ten football, early in September for the Hawkeyes, both seasons, including a very early battle for Floyd of Rosedale with P.J. Fleck and the Golden Gophers. And then in 2021, Iowa, right out of the gate, will open Big Ten play at Kinnick Stadium against the Indiana Hoosiers. Kind of makes things interesting moving forward, thinking about putting together that non-conference schedule, and which, oh, who am I kidding? We all know what the non-conference schedule is going to look like. We'll take a little break from talking college football, though. Got to check in with him one last time. It is Tuesday. He's Tommy. It's Tuesdays with Tommy, Colonel's manager, Tommy Watkins. What's up, my man? I'm so sorry that you guys ended the season last night, and I didn't get a chance to even stop by and say hi because my Tommy was tired. We had to go home after the eighth inning, so we couldn't even stay for the end of the game last night. But great run, and you guys ultimately fell just short in the end. What's up, man?
Hey, not much. How you doing?
Well, we're hanging in there. My question is, how are you doing? You finally breathing a sigh of relief for the first time since April when you guys got here from spring training. I know how busy it is once the season gets going. The next thing you know, it's September.
Yeah, I know, right? Today is like the first day you get to kind of sit back and relax and do nothing. And it's weird to be done, but at the same time, you know, it's good to get a little break from things. It didn't run this since April.
What are the biggest takeaways that you're going to have from your first season as manager?
I don't know. I learned a lot. And one thing that I want to continue to do as I work in baseball is continue to learn. I don't think we're ever we get to a point where we can stop learning. So that's one thing that I took into this season. Trying to learn as much as I could.
Season number one coming to a close last night against the Quad Cities River Bandits in the Midwest League playoffs. Tommy Watkins is a player in his best day. Could he have touched Kit Sheets last night? 88, 89 miles an hour, left-hander coming from that sidearm slot. You guys had a difficult time picking him up until about the seventh inning.
I don't know. He used different angles. He attacked his own, and he threw his breaking ball over. His little sweeping breaking ball was tough for lefty. We only had three in the lineup, but he just keeps the ball. The ball moves a lot. He spotted it up pretty good, and I had a feeling it would be a tough matchup facing him.
Who was your nightmare matchup as a batter? What type of pitcher just absolutely gave you fits?
I think always the soft toss of lefties always gives people. Give people fits. The ball seems like it's coming out and it never gets there. But I think we had a tough time facing was Teddy Buckles. He was pretty good. He was about 95, 96, and he had a slider, changeup. He had all the pitches and throw movers.
Now, you mentioned learning a lot in your first year as manager. Did your managing style change or evolve as the year went along, or did you try to stay as consistent as possible?
I think we try to stay consistent. I know the second half we talked about being a little more aggressive on the bases and trying to take chances and see what we can do. And I feel like we were pretty successful with it.
When you look at a guy like Lewin Diaz, who had a tremendous postseason run for you guys, what type of growth did you see out of him as a player from April until September?
He was a big part of our team. Just late in the game, he went on he hit 330 to 350 or something like that the last month of the season, ended at 292. Just his play discipline was fun to watch. He laid off pitches and he battled lefties. He did a really good job against lefties. So, he's a guy that you don't have a problem playing against a lefty or a righty. So, and I think that's what you want in everyday big league players, not to be, limited to facing either right or left, but he can face them both.
Colonels manager Tommy Watkins joining us on a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Colonels will get a chance for revenge against the River Bandits, but it won't come until the home opener in 2018, next April. Chances that you're back as manager next year, Tommy. I got to ask what you're feeling right now. What's the timetable as far as meeting with the first-year management team there in the Twin Cities? And whether or not you feel some changes may be on the way in the system?
I hope I'm back. I think there will be some changes. I don't know if there will be any changes with us here, but I definitely think some changes will be either adding people or letting people go. You never know, but I hope I'm back here. You never know. I think it'll be around October, November, probably before we hear what we'll be next year if we have a job.
Tommy, you're a Fort Myers native, and this Hurricane Irma rolling through that area. Is everything going all right, at least family and friend-wise, back in your hometown?
Yeah, I think everything's good. I know my family, my parents got a little water in the house, but other than that, they were good. The street was flooded, but I think Lehigh Acres, a little west of Fort Myers, I mean, a little east of Fort Myers, they got a lot more. I think the eye went through there, so they got a lot of the most of the damage, but I think the power should be coming back here in the next day or so, but you know, they're all good.
So that storm hits on Sunday, and you're going through a playoff stretch with your team. How difficult is it to concentrate on baseball when that's happening back at home?
You know, it's difficult, but I tell the guys, like, if stuff is going on off the field back home, baseball is a good place where you can take your mind off of it. And, yeah, you still think about it, but it's a place where you can take your mind off of everything and have fun doing your job. And when the game's over, yeah, you know, you worry. After the game was over the other day, the first thing I did was pick up my phone and see what was going on back home.
Does this affect instructs at all? Instructional leagues, for those that may not be aware, the season is over. A lot of the lower-level players wind up going to the spring training sites in Arizona and Florida for another couple weeks of instruction with the organizational brass. Is Instruct still on right now in Fort Myers, or have they had to alter that schedule?
They're supposed to start later this week on Thursday, but it's definitely going to be pushed back a little bit. They were thinking maybe on Monday or so. So I think they're going to check out the stadium and see how everything is, if they have power, and you know, fix whatever damage was done to the clubhouses or the fields, and see about Friday about what they're going to do about it.
Now, I know this is like asking a mother to pick their favorite child, and I don't expect you to maybe give me the straight answer here, but if I asked you who the MVP of this team was, could you give me a name this year?
I would have to say, I would have to choose from, I guess, four different people. You know, there were guys that were here all year, Blankenhorn, Diaz, Whitefield, and Hector Lujan was really good out of the pen four. So I would have had to pick either one of those four, but especially because they were here, you know, for all of the season. So,
talk to me a little bit about Hector Lujan, because I was fascinated watching him. He was a guy who did virtually anything that the front office asked of him to do. He was doing reading programs, dressing up as a kangaroo, and I didn't really pay any attention to the stats. And I looked at the end of the season, 17 saves during the regular season for you, great ERA, becomes a tremendous stopper for you. Go back to spring training. Is that the role that you envisioned for him, or was that growth and development from him?
You know, he wasn't that guy coming into the season, but, you know, he grew. He was a guy, like you said, he was always out in the community. He was the first one there every day. He was always in the weight room, stretching, lifting, doing his stuff, his arm exercises. He pulled for his guys. He was a team guy. But he grew into that role. He ended up leading the league in saves.
Tommy, what has this year been like just in the Twins organization? I think all but one minor league team made the playoffs, and then the big club is battling for a playoff spot as well.
It's been fun. Like you said, all the teams made it except for one. They came down to the last day of the season. But it's been fun to watch, you know, all the teams compete and play and, you know, ultimately have a chance to play for some at the end of the year.
Can you put into words what you saw out of Royce Lewis once he joined the team at the end of the season?
Yeah, he's a tremendous athlete. I think he helps not only by what he can do on the field, but what he does off the field. I think that's the number one thing I've seen of him. When we got him, yeah, he played pretty good for us, but he also, he rallied the troops up when he got there. And, you know, a lot of guys started having fun. You can see guys starting to enjoy the game a little bit. And I think that's from, you know, his personality and just bringing everybody together.
So what's in store for you these first couple of months of the off season?
Just getting down for instructional league and then, you know, just a little bit. Hopefully find out what's going on for next year sooner than later. But, you know, not too much. The last couple of years, I would go right from instruction league to working at the complex, and I'm not going to do that this year. So I think I might spend some time up here.
You're not selling cars this year? If somebody's looking for a new Chevy Tahoe, they can't call Jake and get you hooked up?
Yeah, you know, I always talk to them and told them that I might have to come sell cars. I think when I decide to go, I think they may let me sell cars for them.
Tommy, we appreciate it. Parting thought here, Quad Cities and Fort Wayne in the Midwest League Championship Series. You faced Quad Cities a lot this year. We saw Fort Wayne at Veterans Memorial Stadium in the first half. That team has had some roster turnover, but if you had to wager a guess, who winds up hoisting the pennant?
From not seeing much and, you know, playing against Quad Cities all year, I have to go Quad Cities. That's been a team all year that they never give up. They're always battling. I don't know. You know, we've played them tough all year, and I like to see them win. I guess, especially being out of the Western Division.
All right, I'm going against you on that. My prediction is Fort Wayne. They've got some tremendous pitching right now. But Tommy Watkins, manager of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, we hope that you are back with us again next year, because it was really fun getting to know you as a manager and having watched you as the hitting coach the last several years in Cedar Rapids before that stint in Chattanooga. Fingers crossed that you're back in the dugout in 2018, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us this year on the show, Tommy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope I'm back as well.
Colonels manager Tommy Watkins, and with that, we stare out the window and wait for spring, the old Rogers Hornsby quote. There's still baseball to be played, Major League Baseball to be exact, continuing on. Twins Padres tonight, 107.5 FM, our North Gym, and Major League Baseball. The Big Ten was not the only organization to release some schedule news today. We may touch on that as well, but the 2018 MLB schedule came out. Every team will open on the same day this year. It's going to be the earliest opening day ever. How about that for MLB? Four extra off days. And the schedule necessitated that move, and we'll touch on that in just a little bit. A big thank you to Tommy for joining us on the program all year. We tried to have as much fun with Tuesdays with Tommy as we possibly could, and I'm surprised that he didn't ask about this, but he was aware that we had to take down the Tommy Watkins Twins jersey here in the studio because we're undergoing some renovations. You probably are listening, and you've heard me mention this for weeks now. How long is this renovation project? Well, we're on hold waiting for some materials to arrive, so we still haven't finished it off, but I want to assure Tommy that once the studio gets that fresh coat of paint and all of the upgrades get done, the Tommy Watkins Twins jersey will be hanging back on the wall here in a very prominent place of display. Hold me to that, Alex.
I will.
I will make sure that that happens. And for those of you that are curious, and many of you know my wife works for the Colonels. Some of you saw us at the ball game last night. We were walking around with Tommy, not Tommy Watkins, my son Tommy, who is not named for Tommy Watkins. That was a running joke with some people over at Veterans Memorial Stadium. My wife works for the Colonels, and a lot of people, one of the biggest questions they ask about working in professional baseball is, what's your off season like? And the answer to that, I'll just tell you this. The renewal process, season tickets and group outings and all of that stuff for the 2018 season is scheduled to get underway on Monday, which would have been Game 5 of the Midwest League Championship Series. So there literally is no off season when you work in the front office of a minor league baseball team. But unfortunately, they dodged a bullet. They didn't have to worry about selling tickets to a Game 5 because the Colonels didn't advance. Last night, 4:53, we closed the book on the Midwest League season, and we almost closed the book on hour number one of the program. We'll step aside and take a quick break. Kyle is going to be with us for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. And don't forget, we still got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill we're going to hook somebody up with before 7 o'clock tonight. Great for tailgating during football season. They've got three locations here in Cedar Rapids. We'll tell you a little bit more about them coming up in just a bit. La Cantina 319. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well,
I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
4:55, heading toward the top of the hour. Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann. We'll get you ready for Twins baseball and other things coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. That schedule available for you at KGYMRadio.com. While you're there, don't forget to vote in the poll question today. It has to do with Iowa and Nebraska. How do you feel about the end of the Hawkeyes and Huskers Black Friday tradition? Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. We'll give you an update coming up in hour number two. But first, here's Kyle Mann. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs. I don't know where I got 30 from.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with members of the media this afternoon in Iowa City, and he confirmed fears that senior offensive lineman Ike Butker suffered an Achilles injury and will be out for 4 to 6 months. Ferentz says the letter of the law doesn't make Butker a likely candidate for a medical redshirt, but the staff will still make an effort. This likely means true freshman Tristan Wirfs will see the field sooner rather than later. Iowa also had its Big Ten schedules released for the 2020 and 2021 seasons, which held within them a couple of bombshells. First, Iowa will be playing Big Ten games in September, including a September 4th matchup with Indiana in 2021, and will not be playing a yearly Black Friday game with Nebraska. The Hawkeyes had a handful of players selected to Pro Football Focus's Week 2 All-Big Ten teams. On offense, they recognized Akram Wadley and freshman Amir Smith-Marset, and on the defensive side of the ball, they honored Anthony Nelson as well as Josh Jackson. Iowa State running back David Montgomery also had a strong performance in Ames over the weekend, and he too was recognized by Pro Football Focus, making their All-Big 12 offense. The season came to a close last night for the Cedar Rapids Colonels as they fell 6-1 to the Quad Cities River Bandits in a deciding Game 3 of the Western Division Finals. A bases-clearing double in the first turned out to be all the Quad Cities would need. The River Bandits will now move on to face Fort Wayne in the Midwest League Finals. Tonight after the show, it's the Twins hosting the Padres, and that's going to be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
If you're just joining us, the big news today, Iowa and Nebraska not playing on Black Friday in 2020 or 2021, and it sounds like they won't be playing on Black Friday beyond that either. UI Athletic Director Gary Barta met with a couple members of the media, myself included, after Kirk Ferentz's news conference in Iowa City today. We will hear from Gary Barta coming up next on the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette scheduled to stop by at 6:35 tonight as well. And sometime in hour number two, I'm going to hook you up with a $30 gift card to La Cantina. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way after this.
Right now at the Home Depot, get 15% off select special order windows and doors, including installed windows, entry, interior, and storm doors.